Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Fleeing from Danger by Jessica West. God's Hit List: Fiction or a Harsh Reality? Lily better figure it out before time runs out. Lily Walsh's life was a constant battle against the wrath of God. The scent of burning ember still lingered in her memory from the night her father perished in their blazing home. The suffocating scent of hospital disinfectant reminded her of her mother's battle with cancer, a battle she ultimately lost. And the echoes of her brother's murder haunted her, a sound that pierced her soul like a knife. God seemed to delight in taking away those she held dear, even if they didn't reciprocate her love. A dark secret emerged from her family's past, thrusting her into the crosshairs of a merciless hitman. In this dire situation, she had no choice but to rely on the expertise of a fellow doctor, Stephen Smith, as the enigmatic protector who always seemed to be by her side. Lily vowed to never succumb to the charms of Stephen, no matter how captivating he was. The bitter truth that God snatched away anyone she loved prevented her from forming lasting connections. Yet as they embarked on a perilous journey escaping for their lives, she wondered if she could trust Stephen without allowing her heart to fall for him. Multiple attempts on their lives reminded them of their mortality. Stephen's unwavering presence provided a shield, but would it be enough to ensure her survival through the holiday season, or would this Christmas mark her last?
Next up on The Romantic Side of Suspense, I'm talking with Jessica West, who lives in East Tennessee with her husband and 8 children. She's a stay-at-home mom who homeschools her kids, and she also writes mystery romantic suspense, which, you know, we're going to talk about. So welcome to my show, Jessica.
Thank you.
So I have to ask the first question with homeschooling and, you know, a fair number of kids. I have 4 kids myself, so, you know, a fair number of kids. How do you find time to write? When do you find time to write?
So I wake up, I try every morning a few hours before the kids wake up. Normally I have a one-year-old, and every morning I have a one-year-old in my hand. I type with one hand, and then I have a 3-year-old laying next to me on the couch. So it can be kind of tricky, but it works for me.
Great. So, I mean, so do you get, what, 20 minutes with that format, 5 minutes? Inquiry so minds want to know.
I try to do 2 to 2.5 hours. But like I said, I mean, the baby, sometimes he tries to delete my, when I'm riding with his feet because he wiggles in his sleep. Or my 3-year-old, like, hits the keyboard, and I'm like, Don't delete what I just wrote. But so I try to get 2 hours or so, 2.5 hours. It just depends how the scene's going.
Oh, I love that. That's a great dedication for that. So I think you said you're working on book 3 in this series. What made you decide to write a series? I know, you know, what was it about these stories? What connects them?
So I like reading series myself. So I think it's nice that, like, as far as being the person that reads, when I read one book and then the second book talks about characters that were in the first book, but focuses on like a different character, but mentions the old characters. I really like that. So that's what I'm doing. Each different book focuses on a new characters, but it mentions all the other characters from the other books too.
Yeah, I love that as well. But is each of your books, are they like, do you wrap up the whole mystery in that book? Is there a mystery thread or suspense thread that you're carrying through all the series? These are the kind of questions that I like to think about as well.
I like to end it because it would drive me crazy if I like have the ending as a mystery. If I was reading that, I'd be like, you know, all upset. So there's not an underlying mystery. I know some books there is, but after each book, it does solve the mystery until the next book with the next character.
Right. So for your books then, and I mean it's similar to how I write, what ties them together? Is it just that there's characters in the same books? Is it, do you have an overall theme for the series?
No, I mean they all live in the same small town in Tennessee. The first book, actually they're all kind of related, actually. Like the first book, it is the girl and the second book, it's the girl's brother and a fellow doctor. Then the third book, it's like she's the cousin of the first and second book's main character. So it's like a family member of in each book.
Yes, I try to, well, I guess in my first series, the Cold War Legacy series, the characters in the first book appear in books 2 and 3, but the characters in books 2 and 3, you know, there's no hint of them in book 1. Maybe I should have done that differently, but that's just the way it turned out. So, yeah, so I kind of tended to use, I kind of did a theme. In that series, the theme was something that happened in 1980s East Berlin impacted each of these three couples' lives today, which I thought was just kind of fun. But yeah, I love hearing about how different authors write their series because it's all, you know, it's all different. Some of them, like you said, you have the town and then you have the family connections, and some people will do, you know, it's like they all work at the same fire station or, you know, things like that. I just love hearing about how the different ones kind of shake out with that because it's just interesting to do.
Yeah, interesting.
So what does your family think about you writing romantic suspense?
excuse me. I think they like it. My mom, actually, she's reading my book. She's the only one.
Yeah.
I think everybody else likes it.
Yeah, what about,
because we're recording.
Yeah, no, that's okay. What about your husband and kids? What do they think of all that?
My daughter actually reads. She's 13. She reads romantic suspense, but she will not read my book. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because, like, it's a mom thing. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
And my boys, they don't care, so.
Yeah. Well, so you have fairly young children then. I mean, I know you said they had a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. Yeah.
Yes, my oldest is 13.
Okay. Yeah, so just here's a hint, Jessica. When your boys get older, because I have a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old boy and then two girls in their early 20s in college, and they are very helpful now when you need to figure out, like, any fight scenes and or, you know, abduction kind of things, you know, grabbing. They're very helpful for that then because, you know, you can still kind of boss them around because you're mom. Yeah, so occasionally I've said, I need you to stand in the doorway and I need you to lightly grab my arm and pull it because I need to see what I can do to. They're like, Mom, I said, just do it. If you argue with me, it's going to take longer. I need to think this through. I
never thought about that.
Yes, I'm telling you, use your children. It's you know, it's part of the reasons we gave birth to them, right? So that we could, you know, use them to help our writing.
Hey, I have 7 boys. I think they would like that. No.
They probably would. You can say, hey, why don't you two fight? Here's how I want you to do it. I'm going to watch. And you can just scale it up because they're little. But, yeah, I mean, just saying
that's
that,
funny.
You know. If we can't use our kids to help us write, what's, you know, really, what's the point? I was kidding. I love my children. There's more than that. I love them more than just helping me to write. But just saying, it's possible.
Yeah, that's a
Jessica.
Good point. Yeah. I will do that.
Yeah. You're going to be thinking about that now. And your kids are going to be thinking you're even more crazy. But that's okay. That is okay. And I love, I'm just going to say, I know we talked about this at the beginning, but I love that you're just writing, your kids are there. I mean, that's what I did for years. I had a little table with crafty stuff in my office. Well, crafty stuff that I did not have to help them with and they couldn't make a huge mess with in my office. So I could just say, you do that and I'm going to write some words here, and we are all happy about that. I think it's so important for our kids to see us as women of mystery, almost, that we have a life outside of them, and writing books is just, I think, it's kind of cool way to do it. They might not appreciate it now, but one day they'll think it's kind of neat.
Hopefully one day.
Hopefully one
when
day.
When I edit, like, I do it during the day, so I might have to stop when kids are fighting or the baby's fussing or, you know, but it's fine. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to, I mean, I think about how I would never have gotten anything done hadn't I been able to say, no, mommy's busy, you can play with this, we'll be in the same room, everyone's happy, you know, and just, you know, work on that, because, you know, it's important for kids to have their own stuff and for us to have our own stuff too. And writing is one of those ones that is pretty easy for us to have and to do while we're around the kids. So, yeah, so good for you. I'm impressed, because that's a hard thing to do, to juggle all of that.
Yeah, it is.
All of that kind of thing. Yeah. Why romantic suspense in particular? I think you talked a little bit about that, but why did you want to write, instead of just straight romance or fantasy or all the other wonderful genres out there, why romantic suspense?
I actually wrote four books before that were not romantic suspense. And I switched over because it's the kind of books I enjoy reading. I can't just read a romance book. And I can read a suspense book, but I'd rather read a romantic suspense. So I guess it's what I like to read, so it's what I like to write too.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I mean, I read a lot, but sometimes I read romances and they can be wonderful, but I'm always like, so who's trying to kill him? What mystery are they trying to solve? I'm also trying to add to the plot. I'm like, okay. Okay. So what do you do when you're not reading? How do you like to relax and to kind of recharge your writing juices, so to speak?
I don't know. I'm either, you know, writing or reading, or actually – my two of my sons are, this has to do with writing, but it kind of is relaxing. I have two sons. One has already wrote a book, and then I'm working right now on their second books. One's first, another one's second. So since I'm an indie author, I help him. So he draws all the pictures, and I do all the illustrations and everything. So I kind of relax by working on his book, if that kind of sounds silly, but...
Yeah, no, that's, I love that. There was a couple of summers when my kids were like in middle school, upper elementary school, and we used to have writing parties, and they would write
fun.
And ask me questions about writing, and it was quite a thing. It was really funny and fun to do. They would invite some friends, and we would have this, and they wanted me to talk about, I don't know, character development or plots or whatever. They would give me the topic, and we would just have a little chat, and they would work on it, and they would share their stuff. And it's just, it is fun to encourage kids to read, to write, whatever
yes,
it is. It's to do that creativity part. So that's always a load of fun. Well, we are almost out of time, Jessica, so I'm going to ask you one final question.
Okay.
What do you want readers to know about you as a writer? What is it that you feel that, you know, that you bring to the genre, maybe?
Kind of like I said earlier, I just feel that God wants me to write to point other people to him. I think doing it in a suspenseful, with a hint of romance kind of way, it makes it more interesting, and more people will actually read these books. Because it's not all preachy and, you know, that kind of stuff, but it does point others to him. And that's my whole mission, you know, entertaining, but ultimately pointing people to him. So.
Oh, I love that, Jessica. Well, thank you so much about sharing about your writing on my show today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. Stay tuned for an excerpt from Fleeing from Danger by Jessica West.
Now an excerpt from Fleeing from Danger by Jessica West. Keep moving. Lily glanced behind her as she took a deep breath, willing her pulse to slow down. She almost fell into a tray of surgical tools, cringing as the metal clanged to the tiled floor. Lily peered around the deserted hospital floor. Nothing seemed amiss, but her gut screamed of impending danger. The hairs on the back of her neck stood on edge as she leaned over, catching her breath. How did the bad guys find her so soon? Days ago, her boring life was enough to put anyone to sleep. But everything changed when she walked into her brother's apartment, finding him half dead from a gunshot wound. She frantically tried saving his life. She hadn't gone to medical school most of her adult life to lose her only family to a bullet. Her efforts were useless. The bullet pierced through his chest and he lost too much blood. She wasn't a miracle worker. But neither was God. As a little girl, she begged God to spare her mother's life, but cancer snatched her life away. No, God was definitely not a miracle worker. Lily's fingers trembled as her brother's hushed words popped into her mind. I'm not who you think I am. I'm sorry, Lillian. I thought I had more time. She wrapped her arms around his blood-stained t-shirt and brushed a kiss on his pale cheek. You're not safe. Get as far away from here as you can. And then violence had claimed another victim, leaving her alone in this big world. Footsteps echoed down the hall behind her. An ominous stillness engulfed her as she froze in place. What was she supposed to do? There weren't many hiding spots on the ICU floor. The footsteps stopped, and the only sound she heard was a rhythmic beeping of a patient's heartbeat. Get a grip, Lily. There's no one after you. She pulled a strand of her charcoal-black hair off her olive-tinted face. Lily adjusted the white coat around her shoulders and breathed a sigh of relief. Her father always warned her about reading too many mystery books, yet she couldn't put the intriguing books away. Her favorite pastime turned her into a paranoid basket case. No wonder she was still single at 27. Her over-imaginative imagination scared men away. Lily grabbed a file from the back of the door and mumbled under her breath. The intensive care unit boasted of heartache and pain, but she loved watching modern medicine heal the sickest of patients. It satisfied her soul, knowing she could play a part in reuniting loved ones. When their condition seeped the life out of them, it reminded her of how much God didn't really care, that his limited power was reserved for those that were worthy, maybe. All she knew was that God never came through for her. Her empty life proved that theory. Lily set the file down and slid her cell phone out of her pocket. 2 a.m. No wonder the place felt like a graveyard. 5 more hours and my shift will be over. I can go home, watching pathetic Christmas movies and hiding from my reality. My brother's dead and I'm so alone. I don't even own a cat. As she rounded the corner, she collided with an unexpected obstacle. A solid chest. She could feel the pressure of hands tightening around her arms, sending a shiver down her spine, as the masked figure leaned closer and whispered in her ear. I wondered when we would finally meet. His raspy breath made her stomach curl with nausea. Let go of me! As Lily tried to yank her arm away, she could feel the guy's fingers digging into her skin. No use. His strength overpowered her by 10. She didn't build muscles by reading mystery novels or watching Christmas movies. I think we need to get acquainted. He tugged her arm, the urgency in his touch obvious as he pulled her towards the stairs. As she kicked her legs and flailed her arms, her heart pounded with fear and adrenaline. Lily wasn't strong, but that didn't mean she couldn't attempt to fight. Your brother never mentioned how ornery you were. His deep chuckle sent electricity pulsing through her body. How did you know Jason? She stopped fighting only for a second. Was this guy a friend or a foe? Like friends, really dressed in concealed masks and tried abducting innocent people. Definitely not her friend, or Jason's either. We go way back. He clutched the side of her arm so tight numbness radiated down her forearm. Now shut up. Where are you taking me? Lily's words were barely audible. She couldn't let this man abduct her out of the hospital. Once he did, her chances of survival were slim. Your brother double-crossed the boss. He pulled a long knife out of his pocket, the sharp blade piercing the skin across her cheek. Blood slid down her face. Give me what's mine and you live. Don't, and you die. It's simple. Her sporadic heart rate quickened. Sweat popped off her black brow as butterflies floated around in her stomach. Calm down, Lily. Now is not the time to have a panic attack. You're a doctor. Don't give in to anxiety. I have nothing of his. She took a calming breath, trying to still her erratic emotions. "Want to die among your patients?" His words felt like ice on a chilly day. He lowered the knife for half a second and glanced around the empty halls. It was now or never. She hit her elbow into the guy's stomach, catching him off guard. He winced in pain and cursed, his grip loosening from the impact. Lily sprinted down the hall, her heart pounding in her ears as she strained to catch any sound of her captor's pursuit. Without a second thought, she slipped into the closest door and leaned against the wall. No sounds, or he would find her. She shut her eyes tightly, desperately trying to steady her trembling hands. The touch of hands on the top of her shoulder sent a wave of fear through her body. Lily's piercing scream echoed through the sterile ICU room, muffled by a hand that suddenly covered her mouth. "Shh!" The voice sounded familiar. How had the bad guy found her already? She yanked on the hand covering her mouth. Lily's heart beat faster than before. She had almost escaped. She opened her eyes and stared into the bluest eyes she had ever seen. His eyes were honest-looking, full of compassion and gentle. No way he was working with the other guy. She watched as the man tugged on his doctor's coat, revealing his name tag. Stephen Smith. Memories of her spying on the doctor from afar made her cheeks redden. Up close, his deep blue eyes held a golden speckle. Unique was an understatement. Stephen Smith was a handsome man. "Your name's Lily Walsh, right?" He stepped to the door and clicked the lock. Whoever was out there wouldn't get past the handsome doctor. He looked like he could handle himself in a fight. His muscles protruded from the white jacket. Lily shook her head. She couldn't speak from fear of sounding like a silly schoolgirl. "Is someone after you?" His voice held a calmness that soothed her tempestuous heart. She nodded her head again. What was wrong with her, besides almost getting abducted? Jason would have loved to see the day she actually stopped talking. He always accused her of never knowing when to be quiet. Thoughts of her brother danced in her mind, causing tears to slide down her face. Stephen touched the top of her face in a reassuring gesture. "You're going to be fine. You have a slight cut on your cheek, but it's not deep, so no stitches." Lily didn't speak. No words would come out. Standing there, she found herself lost in the doctor's mesmerizing eyes, unable to look away. "When I get back, I want to hear your voice." A soft smile slid across his face. He was downright gorgeous, and his smile took her breath away. Lily shook her head and frowned. Now was not the time to gawk at her rescuer. Stephen casually rolled up his pants leg, revealing a concealed ankle holster from which he smoothly retrieved a small gun. With a giant stride, he approached the door, his face adopting a hardened look. "The joys of working in the ER. Never know what will happen." She inched closer to him and grabbed the edges of his jacket. Her fingers clung to the cotton texture. You can't go out there." "I'm touched by your concern, but no thug is going to make me cower in an empty ICU room." He pried her hand off his jacket, the sound of fabric stretching and snapping filling the air. "Lock the door, and don't open it unless you know it's me." Before she could respond, he bolted out of the door, leaving her heart pounding and hands shaking.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.